Hi, this is Patrick Johnson. I am really looking forward to the show today, but first, a word from our attorneys.
The information provided in this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we don't guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but are limited to the dissemination of general information and may not be suitable for all members of the listening audience. Listening to this program should not be considered an engagement with SRS Capital Advisors, Inc. or Wealth Partner. Wealth Partner is a division of SRS Capital Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor whose principal office is located in Colorado. Patrick Johnson is an investment advisor representative of SRS Capital Advisors. Being a registered investment advisor or describing ourselves as being registered does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, where we believe financial wealth is one part of overall well-being. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. Now, here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
All right, so here we are for another episode of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise show, and this is Patrick Johnson, your host. I'm excited to be with you all today, and I'm most excited to be with our special guest, Bobby Mikulas. He's got quite a story, and we're also here with Roger Severson, who's been a personality on the show thus far, and we're going to be talking about something today that is near and dear to my heart. And as you all know, with each of these shows, what we're trying to do is submit something of value to the community, the Colorado Springs community, that is a nugget, a takeaway, a something in one of the dimensions of well-being. So you all know this is underwritten by my firm, Wealth Partner. We see wealth as a rainbow. There are a lot of different dimensions to well-being. And I'll tee up today's conversation. And we got Roger in the studio and Bobby both. And I really want this to be more just kind of a free flow. But what I was after today in inviting Bobby on is specifically the concept of community and why it's so important. I've got a lot of anecdotal evidence from being a 30-year practitioner in financial services space. And I see community as a tremendous predictor of what we would call just well-being or fulfillment during retirement. But then there have been some recent studies that have come out that validate that, but on a broader scale, not just with retirement, but that community is a critical part of our overall well-being. And so today, Bobby's here as like the number one guy on my list that I could think to invite because he has been all about community. He grew up here, loves this place, and then has invested a lot of his life energy into making it better. And I just wanted to hear that story. I want the community to hear this story because he's a beautiful soul. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful building, a new building in Colorado. So Bobby, say hi, riff with me on that. Yeah. However you want to just free flow with me.
Yeah,
here,
awesome
be great
to be here, Patrick. Hello to all the listeners. You know, we our little boutique hotel downtown is called Kinship Landing.
Yeah.
And we are a friendly boutique hotel with a bar and cafe on the main level. But at the heart of what we're doing is community. That's exactly right. And so it's been a blast to see that come to life. And really, like, part of the fun for me is to see how the community, the people, and the life surrounding the building have informed its identity since we opened. It's different and better and creative in ways we never could have imagined it would.
I love it. I pop in and this was early stage when they were just opening, and I would just give Bobby his kudos when I would be there for breakfast one morning or something. And you would always just say, it's all about the people.
Yeah.
It's all about
the
people. Yeah.
I mean, you can have the most beautiful car, house, building, sports stadium, void of people. Those things don't work. They don't run. It's hollow. And so we've got this beautiful building that tells a story of architecture and design and adventure and wilderness. And when you insert human beings into that environment, then the lights turn on. Then things wake up.
Ooh, you've said that before. Go back and say that again, because tying into when you insert humans into that, you see something really light up. So let's play with that for just a minute. So you said that you got architecture, mm-hmm. and what were the other dimensions of the building that you've laid out there?
You know, I can't remember.
Well, just
what I just said,
we can rough it.
We've got architecture. We've got design. We have art.
Wilderness.
You said we've got wilderness and adventure. Adventure is one of our five core values.
Okay.
And, you know, all of those things are kind of baked in. They're products of human discussion that we had. But when you place a human being in our greenhouse.
Yes.
We've got this atrium space that's filled with this milky white color because it's sort of, you know, it's a greenhouse. It's an atrium filled with plants. When you put a person in there, they look up. And other people start to come in and fill in, and it really activates the space in the way that it was designed to be.
I like that. Activates the space. Yeah. Yeah. Having the physical property or the place to be activated within is important. So it is an anchor for the community. It was intended to be that. And I want to get to the backstory in a little bit. Just what's some of the inspiration behind the design elements that you were referencing. And the emphasis on wilderness too. But this idea of us being activated by something, you know, our well-being being activated. It could be the place.
Yeah, you know, when you're talking about that, that just makes me think of this. Part of the magic of community and the magic of being in community with other people. And
yes.
We're in community with all things all the time.
Yes.
Plants, roads, sky, air, water. But being in community with people does something special. It activates us in a way that's unique. And what I mean when I say the word activate, it wakes us up to who we are.
Activate. I love it.
You know,
a great word. Yeah.
When I sit across the table from my wife or my three young boys, they are mirroring to me who I am.
Mm.
And this is like so true in my community. I would say that I live in community because I have children in my home. So I'm living like in community every day with these kids. And they activate my awareness of myself because when I get upset with my son, I'm just being upset at myself in some way that isn't healed or isn't fixed yet. So he gets to kind of hold a mirror up to me without even knowing it, wake up, activate myself to myself. And that can't happen without people. You know, it's a two-way dialogue community, right? And so, for example, last Friday we had a theater presentation, 5:30 and 7:30 p.m. We had a 30-minute bit of this amazing play. Without the audience there, it just wouldn't have been the same.
Yeah.
You know, so the community of people, the performers, the engagers, the listeners, is where that shared meaning kind of starts to arrive.
Yeah, so where the flow for this little few minutes seems to be taking us is that one of the highest values in the concept of community is our ability to sharpen one another or reflect back characteristics that we might resent in ourselves and we're angry at somebody else. Where, you know, the classic iteration of projection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put our worst traits on somebody else when really what they've done is not that big a deal. It's just we perceive it as that because of who we are. So it's a mirror. You use that word. It's also this medium in which we can feel more activated in our souls. I mean, one thing that's never escaped my awareness or my attention is that we are absolutely at our best when things are at their worst. I mean, 9/11 was such a formative experience in my life, and it was just amazing to me how when there was crisis, community pulled together. So there is reflection, but there is this sense of just solidarity that community provides too, which has got to be good for the soul. And I guess I kind of ran that as far as I could take it, but it's just more of an observation than anything to riff off of, I guess.
Yeah.
What does that prompt for you, though?
You know, I don't know. We're talking about wealth generally. We're circling around that idea and how well-being is really pretty diverse in how we measure it and how we understand it. And wealth has got a whole bunch of different ways you can talk about being a wealthy person or a wealthy community. Maybe I'll just go back to kind of the beginning of kinship landing. One of the things we said over and over was that all of our equity is held in relationships. We know that. We know that all of our riches are tied up in our friendships and in our family members and in the relationships. And so we kind of had this big audacious goal to do something that we were inexperienced with and unqualified to do by a lot of different measurements. And we would tell people, you know, if we learn some things and we make some friends, we are doing what we set out to do. And there's a break-even point where you kind of got to call it quits. We didn't reach that. Well, actually, we did. We just kept going. But along the way, we had made so many new friends and learned so many new things that we just wouldn't have without that sort of openness to learning. And that translated because when Kinship Landing opened its doors, the fingerprints of all those voices and all those meetings and interviews and questions and loan officers that turned us down or didn't turn it, all those fingerprints were baked into the final product. So the identity of the building was so much greater than if myself or Brooke or our founding team would have come up with it in a room and started building it by ourselves. Mm-hmm. It had this communal footprint, this communal identity. And what's awesome is now when you walk in there and when other people walk in there who've been a part of that journey, it's yours. You know, just as much as it's mine, it's yours. And so that's another part of, I think, just community and identity. Those two things play so well off of each other. Your individual identity really is informed by your community, and the identity of the community is informed by its individual members. It's this sort of thing that works with itself.
Yeah, which takes the nature-nurture thing, but we'll stick with the nurture bit specific to community and yeah, how we can help shape one another in community and be that mirror that you were talking about in moments of crisis, the solidarity that we can just kind of know is there. I still hold, and maybe some would disagree with me on this, but I just, when you see it in these acute moments, the tidal wave, the 9/11, humans just rally together across socioeconomic strata. And what do you think the bond is, the deeper bond that feeds community? Community itself is so strong, but what is it ultimately that makes us that way and makes us better when we're together?
Sure. I mean, something that those catalyzing events do is they strip away masks and walls and boundaries, because we all just got hit with the tidal wave. We all just got the lights off and the electricity is off, and we're all in the same gym.
Perfect.
But when that's stripped away, you start to see the other as the same, right? We're all human people.
Amen.
And the masks come down, and whoever's, you know, car is bigger and nice, it doesn't matter. If we're all in the same gym recovering from the same hurricane, we're just here together. So I think one of the components that happens during those events is vulnerability. And maybe the part where I'll push back a little bit is those 9/11s, I don't think are required for us to access that type of authentic community. One thing that is required, though, is just vulnerability and authenticity. And the amazing thing about that is you really just need one change agent. Vulnerability and transparency, that breeds vulnerability. So all of us have the power at any given day to walk into a communal environment, a coffee date, a soccer game where you're just hanging on the sidelines, whatever it is, and bring that vulnerable first approach. And it just feeds off itself. All of a sudden, you're sitting in community with people you've never met.
That is beautiful. And that is going to take us into the break. And we will be right back with more with Bobby and Roger here in just a few minutes.
The Healthy, Wealthy, Wise Show is underwritten by Wealth Partner, a unique wealth management firm based in Colorado Springs. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. We believe prudent stewardship of one's financial life is critical to overall well-being, and this is where we begin our relationship with clients. Our highly personalized financial planning process is designed to reduce stress so clients can more fully enjoy all the dimensions of their true wealth. And to help clients thrive, we also offer powerful, cutting-edge, evidence-based health and well-being services. Wealth Partner is a rapidly growing company, which has evolved out of an award-winning fiduciary wealth management firm, currently managing well over $1 billion in client assets. And our offering is priced at a fraction of the cost of most firms. If this unique approach to wealth management interests you, please visit our website at www.wealthpartner.com. That's wealth spelled W-E-L-L-T-H, W-E-L-L-T-H partner.com.
Welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, Wise on KRDO News Radio. Here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
All right, welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, Wise. We're here with Bobby Mikulas and Roger Severson. Yes, he's here with us. He is quiet in the background just listening to me and Bobby riff with each other. But before the break, Bobby was rolling on something that I just loved, and he was talking about how we don't need a 9/11 or a tidal wave to see human solidarity and coming together and in community, but that there's an element to community that requires vulnerability. And what that can look like, it can take so many different forms. But it just made me think when you were saying it could be at the soccer game, the checkout line with the grocer, whatever the various examples were that you were using, that there is this wall of sorts that we all carry around. You called it a mask. I mean, others would call it ego, but this sense of self that really needs often attention, that the world's seeing seeing it. Mm-hmm. And we don't get seen enough in our culture. And it's almost like if we could just let go of the need to be seen and see others and see that they are a community member and let that motivate us to be a little bit vulnerable. The number of forms that could take are as diverse as, you know, whatever, different types of trees. Or I mean, there's so many different forms. But the one that came to mind for me, and this was from a recent experience within our wealth partner community, and I think I've mentioned it before, was just this woman who's very nervous, not a social person, but she just started smiling more as a function of one of our exercises. Yeah. That's love vulnerability.
It is.
Ultimately, right? It's like, hey, I'm going to be kind, even though I'd like to be seen for the pain that I'm in now too, or the joys or whatever, but just this vulnerability to be kind. So that's one example. And any other kind of come to your mind, especially specific to the building and what you created there, you're trying to foster a vulnerability, any other elements? And if we stay on vulnerability, what that environment, how it might facilitate it? Just
Yeah. I mean, I love that example. I got back from a trip when I was, I must have been like 19 or 20. I was away for 8 months and I had some trauma, and my fiance at the time, now wife, would ask me to smile for 1 minute straight. Mm. And I couldn't do it. You know, it wasn't in me at the time. She had to pull that back out. So I love that example. We've baked a few of those things in at Kinship, and a lot of them happen kind of organically and naturally. But one of them that's really important to me is art. Mm. Art, I think, has the power to change the world and for the better. And art does something to people in that it helps us see the world, see ourselves in the world, helps orient us in a way that other things don't. So we've tried to make art a big part of our rhythm at Kinship Landing. We've got local art throughout the hotel, but we also feature a local artist at least once a month. We bring in their art to be on display and to view, and then we'll have live music from local artists as well. And I'm thinking again back to that play last week. I mean, it just finds you, and within 30 seconds of these people performing this theater, I was kind of like, how's this going to go? Am I going to like this? Theater's sort of different. Yeah. This is not a typical venue for theater. Within 30 seconds, you're there. Yeah. You see yourself in the performance. Like, I'm that character. I'm that reaction. I'm that tone of voice that I just heard. I'm in it with them. Mm. So art, I think, is another one of those tools to chalk up with catastrophe, vulnerability. Art is another one of those in-breaking mechanisms.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. So Kinship was informed largely by your travels. And do you find, so when I travel internationally, I let's stay with the vulnerability thing for a little bit. Mm-hmm. If we say that that's one of the major components to facilitating community, then I would say we could take it deeper. And ultimately, community is forged in the, you know, or welded together with love. And you know, there's different dimensions, but on the catalyst, if you will, to kick off community, vulnerability. Now, maybe this is the nugget for the show. People can take away, hey, I'm just going to be a little more vulnerable today, more good vibes in the community suddenly on a Saturday morning. That'd be cool. But Kinship was informed largely by your travels, as I understand it, for a full year with Brooke, then fiance, or maybe not even yet. And that inspired a lot of what you're now doing at Kinship. But let's come back to vulnerability and community and what you observed internationally. And I can see you nodding. You know where I'm going with that. So go with.
Yeah. I mean, one little course correction, Kinship Landing, as it was in my mind and the mind of my wife, was 100% informed by our travels. We took a year off. We called that trip Kinship Travels because we were looking to encounter the global family. You know, we know we're a part of a bigger family across the globe. So we want to meet some of our family members. So we traveled, and that trip inspired a passion to bring a new kind of hospitality to Colorado Springs. Kinship Landing, as it is today, is informed so much more meaningful and deeply by the community, by its founders and architects and designers and the chef and the guests upstairs and the locals downstairs. It's so different than what we had in our mind when we came back, that it's a product that's totally different than what we would have done. But the catalyzing, like the early stage vision stuff, was absolutely informed by that. And when you're traveling and you're living out of a carry-on, you are in a very vulnerable position. You know, you don't know where you're going to sleep. We had a $53 a day budget for lodging, travel, and food. You know, it's by nature intentionally designed to be vulnerable. And one way to understand vulnerability is to be transparent with your needs. And what we found is that when we are transparent with our needs, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I don't know where I'm sleeping tonight, I have no idea how to read these signs. We're in the Czech Republic and I just can't read them.
Yep.
That vulnerability is an invitation. It's a bid for connection. And so one of our other five core values at Kinship Lending is generosity. We mean that to believe people are inherently good. And so even in our style of hospitality at Kinship, I think this comes from our trip, was allow people the chance to be hospitable. Like community, hospitality is a two-way street.
Yep.
So there's the offering and the receiving. And I tell people all the time, I have the gift of hospitality because I'm great at receiving it. You know, people who say, why don't you come check out my place? Why don't you just sleep in our backyard? A lot of times it's like, oh no, that's intrusive, weird. I'm more like, yeah,
I'm in.
Sounds funky. Right. Probably going to generate some authentic conversation and
story,
some vulnerability, and maybe we'll be friends at the end of it. Chances are high.
Yep. Yeah, I like that a lot. That's a helpful distinction with what Kinship is now versus what it was in your travels, but then also just the nature of travel requiring vulnerability. And I'm sure you have story after story, as do we, just about how open people are and internationally. And I think we're like that in America too, if we just pause for a moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Just pause and connect with who we really are in our souls and choose to be generous or receive generosity, maybe, or to smile, whatever it is. It seems like we're so hurried.
Maybe that's a nugget for today also. I mean, we were so moved by communities in Thailand and Zambia and all over the world who still felt kind of old world. There was a high trust, you know, high trust. And so we tried to bake that into a hospitality model in Colorado Springs. But in our day-to-day lives, we are allowed to give people permission to be trusted. And those opportunities are everywhere. Like valet, you know, give the guy your keys and you trust him with your car. Yeah. That's still preserved. We don't have robots doing that yet. There are countless opportunities every single day to extend trust to a human being, to be the good person. And what that does is it provides them a chance to rise to that. It's an open door to step in to vulnerability. I just made myself vulnerable because you could steal my car if you chose to right now. There's so many chances to do that. Letting someone come in front of you in the line in the grocery store, or you know, eye contact is another one that's just vulnerable. It's a bid for connection. And so that, like you said, we still have that in America, but I do think it's going to require some courage for people to choose to continue to trust the goodness in each other, with other messages that challenge us not to do that. And of course, there's wisdom in that. I'm not going to send my kids out to certain places at certain times of day, whatever. There's wisdom there.
Sure.
But I also might trust the person we're sitting next to at the restaurant to hang with my kiddo while I chase the other one down the hall.
I've seen you do it. And it's you do this very well. You walk what you talk, not only with your product that you brought into the world, if you want to call Kinship and Homa that, which... It's more than that, but the physical expression, but just the way you walk it. And Bobby and I have walked enough miles together now to where I can say that with confidence. And what would you say beyond vulnerability as a catalyst for community and maybe slowing down, lack of hurriedness? Is anything else come to mind, or for you, Roger, that you've been waiting to say?
Well, you know, I've enjoyed this conversation because I find it fascinating. Kinship is such a great gem, and I think sometimes people drive by it and they don't realize what they're missing. And I hope that this conversation encourages people to come in and, you know, try the restaurant, you know, have a beer, have a cocktail, sit outside in the nice weather and just take it in. And if you have an opportunity to stay there, I haven't seen it, but from what people have told me that they have been there, that it's just a fabulous experience. And they told me you could even camp on the roof. What's that about?
Yeah, that's another just fun thing. I'm getting a good chance to talk about our five core values. So one of the other five is adventure. We had a idea for a camping sort of platform, and we just couldn't afford it. The construction budget ran out. So we turned one of our hotel rooms into a camp deck. You open the door, you're outside overlooking the Front Range, and people pitch a tent and sleep outside on the fourth floor on our camp deck. Love so it. It's a way to kind of preserve adventure when we could have maybe chosen to maximize the revenue on that room a little bit better. You know, Patrick, you were just asking about other tools.
Well, and that just triggered a thought, actually, the adventure.
Like, yeah, adventure is another
how
one.
Much community we have around adventure, but go with what you
Absolutely.
Were just talking
well,
about.
Well, I was just going to say children. we bring our kids to Kinship Landing on First Friday, and it's awkward every time because I'm like, oh, they're running around and there's art here and people are maybe trying to have a nice meal or something. I don't know. Yeah. But there's something about the presence of children that has the same power as art or adventure or smiling. You know, it brings us back to who we are. And a lot of what we've done, if I can invite you to enjoy Kinship Landing, we built it for people who live, work, and play here. Mm. So there's a hotel upstairs where people who choose to trust us with their overnight guests, that makes sense. But the main level on any given day is filled with 95% people who live here. And we built it for you. It's a full-service bar and cafe right on Cimarron in Nevada. Every time someone chooses to step foot in there, they're helping make it special and helping make it something real. And that includes bringing your kids and spending time.
I love it. So we've got vulnerability, children, you know, be childlike and enjoy the children around you, adventure, maybe just a different pace for a few minutes every day. These are things that help foster community. And me being newer to the Colorado Springs community, I'm delighted by what I see here. And I see so much potential for it. And thanks for being an anchor in the community. And I really do hope everybody will pop over there any given lunch. You might run into me too, because I'm there all the time. Wrote my novel there. Those walls are full of love. Bobby, you're a good man. Thanks for being here. Anything else you want to add, just by way of address or anything else?
No, I mean, we built this for you. You own a hotel, and it's a place where you can trust when your in-laws have overstayed their welcome at your home. You can trust that they'll be taken care of overnight, and otherwise there's healthy, nutritious food and great drinks and events and music waiting for you.
Perfect. All right. Well, you heard it at Cimarron and Nevada. I didn't know if there was a street number, but people probably...
415 South Nevada.
There we go. So come on by. And Bobby, thanks for being here today. This was fun. Roger, thanks for being here. You were quiet today, but it was still good having you here.
Hey, when there's good conversation going on, it's better to listen than chime in.
All right. Well, we will be back next week. And the guest next week is a friend of mine. He's a physical trainer. We're going to be leaning into the health dimension of well-being. Shahid is a great person to be talking with when it comes to health and well-being. And I'm sure we'll have some nuggets from that one. So this is Patrick Johnson. This has been Healthy, Wealthy, Wise. Thank you for joining us. Please be sure to tune in next Saturday at 10:30 on KRDO.
Listeners are encouraged to consult a professional advisor before implementing any of the strategies presented. The material in this program is for education purposes and is not intended to provide investment, tax, legal, health, or medical advice. Past performance does not guarantee future success. Information in this program is not an offer to buy or sell, or a solicitation of any offer to buy or sell the investments, investment strategies, securities, or well-being services mentioned herein. All expressions of opinion reflect the judgment of the speakers as of the date of the radio show and are subject to change and are not statements of material fact. Opinions are based on knowledge and experience, but may not include all of the supporting facts to verify these opinions. The advisor may not transact business in states where it is not appropriately registered, excluded, or exempted from registration. Individualized responses to persons that involve either the affecting of transaction and securities or the rendering of personalized investment advice for compensation will not be made without registration or exemption.